In so many ways, we are like Peter. You know, he could say the right things when it was time to say the right things, and he could say the wrong things when it was the wrong time. In the gospel reading, it says, you know, when the Lord said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter was the one who spoke up and said, "You are the Messiah. You're the Son of God." And I think it's Matthew's gospel, he goes on and says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John." And he goes on and commissions him to be the head of the apostles, the head of the church. St. Mark's gospel is a little more concise. But anyway, Jesus immediately recognizes his statement, and it recognizes his insight, the grace that God gave to him, that he was able to see who Jesus really was, that he's not just a wonder worker, somebody can do all kinds of great tricks or great signs or attract great crowds, but he truly is the Messiah who was promised for centuries to the chosen people. But then Jesus goes on and he talks a little bit more, and he talks about suffering, and he talks about pain and death and, you know, the need for sacrifice. And again, we're very much like Peter. Say, well, you know, I don't think he really means that for us, does he? I mean, there's enough pain in life. We don't need any more. Why would Jesus expect us to take up our cross? Why would he expect us to do that? And so Peter, you know, he's concerned about, you know, all these people hearing this. And they probably felt pretty much the way we do. Oh, that's tough stuff. I'm not sure I want to follow that. I'm not sure I want to do that. And as a consequence, of course, a lot of people walked away from Jesus, and as a consequence in our world too, we walk away. When it's too difficult sometimes, we just kind of say, well, I guess that's really not the right one. Or maybe he's not the one I thought he was. Or I thought he had a little better idea of things than that. And so Peter kind of voices that. He's concerned about all these people going away because they have a good thing going. You know, the big crowd's coming, and Jesus works all these signs, these healings, and he multiplies food so that thousands can eat, and all this kind of stuff happens. And Peter stands up to Jesus and says, no, that isn't what we're trying to teach here. And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm the one teaching here. I'm the Messiah. I'm the teacher. I'm the Lord. I set the rules." And so Peter had to back down. But we look at that in our own lives sometimes, and we say, how often we kind of act the same way. It's a good idea once in a while to ask ourselves, or let Jesus ask us, "Who do you say that I am? Am I just a nice guy who you come to when you need things? Or am I truly the Messiah, the Son of God? Are you really willing to listen to everything that I have to say, or just the pleasant stuff?" And of course, we all like to take the easier road if we can get away with it. But he keeps coming back to us and saying, "You have to take up your cross." And I think sometimes we get a funny idea of what that is, too. We think that to be a good Catholic or a good Christian, that we have to go look for trouble, something that's going to pain us or hurt us, so that we have something to offer, so that we can accept that and offer that to God. Like, beating ourselves or starving ourselves to death or, you know, whatever, looking for some kind of pain so that I can say, "Oh yeah, I'm carrying my cross." Well, people have crosses to carry that just come. There's things like aging and sickness and all the pain that comes with being a human being. I mean, that's all there. It's important what we do with that too. But the kind of suffering, the kind of cross that Jesus is talking about is a kind that comes with simply making him the center of everything that we are. And to do that, that means that often I have to change my way of thinking. And that's a tough task. That's not easy. We don't like to do that. Once we get to 15 or 20 years of age, we think we have it all figured out. We don't need to change anything. We don't need any more advice. We got it all figured out. So it's Jesus is simply trying to, what he's asking us to do is to make him the center so that all things work from him.
All things work through him. So when I think about a decision that I have to make, a difficult decision, do I just rashly make the decision, or do I pause and say, give me guidance? Give me the wisdom that I need to make a choice that honors you and respects you and all that you've taught me, so that I know I can make the world a better place. It's kind of accepting what Jesus says to us, even if it means that I have to sacrifice my own opinion, if I have to swallow my own pride, if I have to change something that I don't like to change, if I have to maybe get away from people who are not good for me, all of those things. The sacrifice, the pain, the cross comes in doing that. He said, and like me, he said, I give myself totally for you. I don't think Jesus particularly enjoyed suffering and dying so that we would be freed. But he did it for one reason, because he loved us. And he said, I'm willing to give all for you. What are you willing to give? And he said, and what I give to you, I want you to give to others. If we're going to serve other people, like the gospel also teaches us time after time after time, if we're really going to serve other people, it means also that same kind of sacrifice. If we are doing it and to honor and praise our God, it makes it a great prayer. But anytime we're planning to serve other people, to put them first in our lives, in place of ourselves, that also involves suffering. It also involves these little crosses, because that means that maybe I have to sacrifice something of my time that I would rather waste on TV or something, or maybe something of my talents, that the gifts that God has given to me, that I try to figure out ways that I can be of assistance to somebody who really is in need of help. Or something of my treasure, something of my money, that I'm willing to give some of that to help somebody else. In the letter of James, he talks about faith, and we all profess to have faith in God. We profess that. But in James' letter, he says, but faith without works is dead. Because your faith in God prompts you, like God loves us, it prompts us to love others. And to love others, you have to reach out to them. You have to be willing to serve them. So when he says, "With the works are that we are willing to reach out, to sacrifice what it takes to give to other people." So Jesus said the important thing. It's wonderful that you, Peter, that you recognize that I am the Messiah. But the Messiah came to teach to suffer and to die, to teach you how to love, to teach you how to serve, to teach you how to live, to teach you a way that of life that's going to bring you to eternal salvation. That's what I do for you. And I suffer to attain that so that you can be wiped clean and that pathway is open for you. So it wasn't an easy job for our Lord. We don't have to take on the cross. We don't have to take on the nails and the scourging and the crown of thorns. We don't have to do that. Simply living our lives in service to our God, acknowledging his primacy in our lives, and doing what he asked of us, of extending that love to other people, that is sacrifice enough. So when he says, take up your cross, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to work to put him at the center of your life and to do what he asks you to do? Or do we just say, let's leave that for somebody else? Or maybe like Peter, say, no, that isn't the way you're supposed to do this. And maybe the Lord would say the same thing to us that he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. If you want to follow my way, this is what it is. Take up your cross, be willing to follow me, and then you will attain the peace and the joy and the salvation, the fullness of love that I offer to you.